General Motors on Safari. Here is adventure. Excitement. And danger. Bringing you the African bushveld of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on Safari.
Tonight I bring you a true story, which started in 1898 when the Foreign Office sent a man called Patterson to take charge of a section of the railway which was being built from Mombasa on the coast of Kenya to the interior of Uganda. At that time, the line had been laid as far as a place called Tsavo. 67 years ago, Tsavo was surrounded by impenetrable bush. The only clearing was where the narrow track for the railway had been cut. A country of low, stunted trees, thick undergrowth and thorns. A sun-stricken country with ridges of dark red, heat-blistered rock jutting out above the bush. Patterson saw a barren land, but in that wilderness beat two mighty hearts, the man-eaters of Tsavo. The one redeeming feature of the neighborhood was the river from which Tsavo takes its name. Along the banks of the river, lofty trees grew, and the Indian coolies who formed the labor force for the railway dreamed of the shade as they sweated in the African sun 6.5 decades ago.
Shelter, good water, and peace. Perhaps I may grow to like you, Tsavo. Or perhaps give us time to become friends.
Hello there.
Huh?
Colonel Patterson, I presume.
Oh.
Welcome.
McCulloch?
That's correct. Roshan told me you'd come.
Roshan?
Roshan Khan, son of Kadir. A good curry, you like him.
Ah. So, this is Tsavo.
Now, wait a minute. I ask one thing of you. Don't be hasty. You'll get to like it.
I think perhaps I've got to.
That's Ndungu escarpment up there, northeast. Yeah. Tomorrow you might see Kilimanjaro.
Must be 5 years.
Yes, you've been out here before, haven't you? Well, that's a blessing. You'll know all there is to know in a week.
Sahib! Sahib!
Roshan, this is Colonel Patterson. He's had a long journey and a tiring one. I want you to prepare a tent and a good meal.
A greeting, Sahib. Forgive me, but I have first of news. Terrible news.
News?
Yes, Sahib. Ungan Singh has been eaten. The beasts have come.
Ungan Singh?
Eaten?
Ungan Singh is one of the foremen.
He was seized in his tent in the night by the devils and eaten.
What is this, McCulloch?
Roshan, prepare Colonel Patterson's tent. I'll send for you soon.
Yes, yes, sir.
Patterson, I owe you an explanation. But first, refreshment. They were good workmen. They've saved a fair number of rupees. I think it more likely that they've been murdered by some scoundrels from the gangs.
But Roshan says Lion took them.
Yes, we've lost 4 men to date. Whitehead, the district officer, is due next month. I was going to mention it to him.
But 4 men? Well, McCulloch is medical officer.
Colonel
here,
Patterson, if there were 40 hours to a day, I would work them. If you believe I've shown negligence...
Oh, look, I'm not accusing you of anything. Will you take me to this Singh's tent?
Of course. We'll go now.
No doubt about it. Man was taken by a lion. Pug marks all over the place. Poor devil.
At midnight, Sahib, the beast put his head in the tent and seized Ungan Singh. He was nearest by the opening.
Nearest? He shared the tent?
Oh, yes, 6 men, Sahib. He cried, Charu, Charu. He threw his arms around the lion's neck, but the next moment he was gone.
You didn't sleep in that tent, Roshan?
Well, Babu told me all, Sahib. He's not wonderful with English, Sahib. That is why I relate the story.
He must have died hard.
Yes, what chance had he?
Was he not fighting with the lion?
I leave in 5 minutes. Should be an easy matter to track him.
Take Haslam with you. He's here at Savu at the moment. He's a good shot and a useful man in the bush.
Smell of blood's the most terrible smell in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Back, Shinzi! Shinzi, down! Back, you brute!
The lion stopped for a chew every half mile, Patterson.
Mm. Careful.
Huh? No, sir. I shouldn't think he's still around.
What is it?
This is all that's left of the sing. I've seen this before, but I can never get used to it.
There's precious little left. Haslam, two lions here, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. You've probably had a disagreement over the division of the spoils. Oh, merciful heavens.
What?
There's Ungan Singh's head.
The head lay a short distance away from the other remains, the eyes staring wide open with a startled, horrified look in them. That night, Patterson sat in a tree close to Ungan Singh's tent. The various camps for the workmen were very scattered. The lions had a range of some 8 miles on either side of Savu to work on. And work they did. For as Patterson crouched with his .303 and 12-bore shotgun in a tree under the night sky, a man died just half a mile away, dragged from the tent in which he slept.
Took him from the railhead camp.
Mm.
The lions hold up about 2 miles away. We'll go now, Patterson.
Yes, we'll go now. Whether we get him or not, I'll spend the night at the railhead in case the other comes back.
You want me with you tonight?
No, I don't know. First things first. McCulloch, are the coolies ready?
They're ready. Is it there, Bwana?
I tell your men to surround the thicket. When I give the signal, tell them to start the drums.
Do, Bwana.
Watu, do. Watu,
now.
The lion stepped out from the thicket. It didn't see Patterson. It was worried by the drums and shouts of the natives and coolies. The lion did not see Patterson and so walked towards him.
You first. 15 yards.
He's seen you.
He's still alive.
Not now.
The lion was dead, and yet it crouched on all fours, ready to spring, with eyes blazing. Patterson's first shot had entered behind the shoulder and found the hut. Haslam's shots had gone through the mouth and left forepaw. The first man-eater was dead, but it took 6 coolies to push the beast over, and Haslam said,
"Now even I believe they're bewitched."
That night, Patterson crouched in another tree, above another tent, where another coolie had died, too far from his native Bombay. Patterson waited for the second man-eater, whilst 2 miles away, Patrick O'Hara, the engineer in charge of road-making, prepared for sleep.
Nor shall death brag thou wanderest in his shade, when in eternal lines to time thou growest. So long as men can breathe,
shh,
or eyes can see...
Kate.
I'm sorry, darling, what is it?
I thought I heard something.
Hiroki!
Buana.
You've seen nothing?
A Buana, Buana.
A donkey, that is all, Buana.
A donkey? I'm sorry, Hiroki.
Santa Buana.
It's all right, just a donkey.
Oh, it's so hot.
I'll throw back the tent door.
The O'Hara's sleep. 11 yards away in the black stands one of the largest lions in Africa. There is no donkey. The native askari is old and tired. The man-eater is still. Still is the night. Patrick O'Hara has 4 minutes to live. Patterson and his 303 are too far away. Too far away at the scene of another death. Patterson waits in vain, and O'Hara has 3 minutes to live. Jirogi stirs, decides there is no danger, and relapses once more into sleep. He dreams of the giant Maasai from whom the Wakikuyu run. He dreams of his 3 wives, and wishes he had more. The man-eater pads silently forward, and O'Hara has 2 minutes to live. The stars are hidden by low clouds. There is something in the air this night. Something intangible, fearsome in this dark African air. The lion is 6 feet from the tent. O'Hara does not dream. He has 1 minute to live. A slight breeze blows. The cloud lifts a little and a star appears. The lion springs towards the tent. The great head reaches for the sleeping man. The teeth close round O'Hara's head, and Mrs. O'Hara feels the pillow on which she sleeps slide away.
Patrick! Patrick!
Mensa!
Oh, help me! Don't just stand there, Ndrogi! Help me!
The lion, Mensa! He stand beside you!
The next morning, Mrs. O'Hara was alive to tell the tale to Patterson.
I screamed, and then Njirogi fired his rifle. The lion jumped into the bush.
You carried your husband into the tent, then?
Yes. He was dead. The other askaris helped me when the lion was gone, but he came back. The askaris fired, but he stayed, walking round and round. I heard his dreadful purring and growling. We fired at him, but he wouldn't stay away. We had to shoot through the tent all night. He didn't go away until it was nearly light.
Buana! Buana, Simba!
Where?
By the station, Buana. He killed the donkey.
I'll go at once. Forgive me, Mrs. O'Hara. A McCulloch, look after her.
Yes, of course.
Colonel Patterson, kill it for me. Please, kill it.
McCulloch says they lost a pointsman from this station 2 weeks ago.
Now the brute's come back, eh?
This time he only got a donkey.
Hello?
No one here.
Can you blame them? If this goes on, there'll never be a railway.
Hello?
Oh, it's Ryle. You haven't met him. One of the engineers.
Well, Ryle holds the fort alone no more. Good day to you, gentlemen. So you're still around, Haslam. You'll be joining the railway next.
This is Colonel Patterson.
Patterson, at last, the Foreign Office man. You're in charge of the section, I believe.
That's right.
Well, welcome, my friend. Of course, you know that the darn thing will never be finished.
Why is that?
Too many Simbas, old man. They don't mind who they eat. Station master, pointsman, signalman, all the same to them.
There's only one left.
O'Hara was killed last night.
O'Hara? Poor devil. What happened?
Lion took it from his tent. His wife? She's all right. Badly shocked, of course.
O'Hara. We went after Kudu only last week.
O'Hara shot his last Kudu, Ryle.
Now, look.
Put me in the picture. Where's the station master gone and the rest of them?
What happened to the fellow in charge of the telegraph?
He ran as soon as the lion went. He left this message.
Lion, fighting with station. Send urgent succor. Oh, I wish his pluck was as good as his English. Did this get through to the traffic manager?
I don't know. It must have done. You heard about it.
No, we had the news from a native. Do you think he'll return?
I think so. You got one, you said?
Yesterday.
Where?
Oh, about 2 miles from O'Hara's tent.
That's about 5 miles from here, as the crow flies. When did the lions come here?
2 nights ago. I don't know whether there were two.
Yes, they hunt together. Then one always seems to disappear. Kate O'Hara says there was only one at the tent. But that's no reason why there shouldn't have been more than two, Patterson.
No reason at all, but let's hope you're wrong. We've enough on our plates.
My inspection wagon's on the line near here. We can hold up there tonight.
There's really no reason for the animal to come back here. He's killed O'Hara since then. Returned here this morning.
Well, this morning. But the bubble in charge of the telegraph sent the message 2 days ago.
Oh, now, that means he came here, tried to get into the station, left, killed O'Hara last night, then returned here and killed the donkey early this morning. We didn't get the message from the telegraph.
All right. We'll eat and then get to the inspection carriage. I've never spent the night in a train before.
In the early evening, they sat on guard in the carriage. They kept a good watch but saw no lion. The hour grew late and Ryle persuaded Patterson and Haslam to lie down.
You'd better have the top berth, Patterson. This is the only other compartment.
I think I'd rather sleep on the floor. Oh, you'd better slide the door too, Ryle.
The lion was watching them all the time, studying their every move, almost reading their minds. Slowly, he began stalking them. But they didn't hear him.
Oh, hyena. No meal for you tonight, friend. Well, a little sleep, I think, just for a while.
No, Ryle. No sleep. It's unwise. The door, Ryle. There are 3 inches still to close. Haslam said slide the door too, didn't he, Ryle? Ryle slipped. The lion mounted the 2 steps from the railway line. The door was not secured. It ran easily on wheels on a brass runner. The lion thrust a paw into the opening. And with a spring, he was inside the carriage. The door rolled shut behind him and snapped into the lock. The lion was now closed in with 3 men. It sprang at Ryle, planting its feet upon Haslam, who slept on the floor. There was only one way out for the lion, through the window. So seizing Ryle, he leapt. 2 weeks passed. In all, 28 men had died. Patterson's safaris into the surrounding countryside were in vain. The bewitched one had disappeared. But, Patterson reasoned, they had to find it soon. The coolies had taken to sleeping in trees. There were so many in one thorn tree that it collapsed in the night, and one terrified coolie screamed to 1,000 deities and then died of shock. Then came the afternoon of December the 22nd.
The thing was walking round and round the tree all night long. I think it will return. You'd better spend tonight there.
Whenever I wait in a tree, someone seems to die miles away.
Tonight might be different. I'd like you to take Njirogi with you.
Njirogi? Oh, the O'Hara's askari, huh?
Yes, he's anxious that the beast should be killed.
Have the coolies sleep somewhere else tonight, will you?
Oh, don't worry. Nothing would induce them back. They've taken to sleeping on top of the water tanks. They're not the bravest of men.
I don't think I blame them.
I'll come out at dawn. Good luck.
Thanks. We're due for a little of that.
And you're okay.
You have slipped, Bwana.
Something's wrong.
Bwana, Bwana. There is nothing.
Yes, something's watching us.
Thus, the hunter became the hunted.
Bwana, you shoot him!
Blast! No, wait, we will follow him when it's light. Plenty of blood.
You shoot him good, Bwana.
Yes. Yeah, keep close behind me. You got the martini?
Yeah, indeed, Bwana.
Mile after mile, the sun was high, flies were plentiful.
He can't have gone much further. He's losing a lot of blood.
There he is, boy.
A martini in Jirogi. Huh?
Fear had overcome his desire to avenge his master. In Jirogi and the martini carbine were high in a tree. Patterson raced for the same tree. The man-eater with a broken hind leg just failed to reach him.
That, my friend, is your quietus.
Stay in your tree, Patterson. Stay in your tree.
So, this is the end.
The man-eaters of Tsavo were no more. The workmen in the camp, attracted by the sounds of firing, flocked to Patterson and the last of the devil killers. The feasting and rejoicing lasted all that day, long into the night and most of the second day. The lion was carried into Patterson's boma, and news of its death brought natives from many miles around, until the encampment at Savu held more men than ever before. In Mombasa, on Kasiwa Marita, the Isle of War, the widow of Patrick O'Hara heard the news as she placed the thorn-scarred volume of Shakespeare's sonnets with her husband's guns in a great trunk. She turned the key slowly in the lock. To the north, the blood that was once rich red turned black in the sun. Patterson had reports of another lion that was terrorizing a village 8 miles away from the main railhead camp. Believing another reign of terror was imminent, he packed his guns and set out for Chiru, the village where the new lion had last been seen. He wired Haslam and invited him to another hunt, but Haslam reluctantly refused. The army couldn't release him again. On arrival at Chiru, Patterson found the spoor of the lion old. Another long and tiresome hunt seemed necessary. But this was not to be, for a sportsman from Kenya, hearing reports of the famed man-eaters, had travelled overland to Tsavo, and hearing the news of the new lion by bush telegraph along the way, had tracked and captured the animal. Despite the many traps at Tsavo, no lion had been captured and caged. They had to be shot. But this one was caged and kept on the outskirts of Chiru for 3 days. The sportsman, having achieved his purpose, and no doubt added to his reputation, had departed for Nairobi once more, leaving the great cat staring in monstrous aloofness from behind the iron bars. When Patterson arrived, he was heralded to the captive by laughing and cheering coolies and natives. He asked to be left alone, and after the crowds had departed, he stayed with the lion watching from a small, quickly erected hide some yards from the cage. The lion stared at the hide, and then lost interest and looked away. He appeared to have given up. He was calm and kingly. Patterson thought of Ryle, and of O'Hara, and the other men who died so cruelly in the plains.
A lion cannot be blamed for its deeds. All animals are innocent, trapped by the demands of their nature. Only man can transgress. Patterson realized with some surprise that during the terror, he had never hated his quarry. The lion in the cage yawned and looked at a fly that had settled upon a huge paw. It moved the paw a little, and the fly settled in a new place, a patch of dried blood on one of the cat's hind legs. Patterson rose and walked slowly away, perhaps a little tired of Africa. A day later, the lion was shot.
Join us again next week for another story of the African Bushveld. It might be fact, it might be fiction, in General Motors on Safari. Brought to you by General Motors South African, manufacturers of Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Chevrolet, Beaumont, Vauxhall, Opel, Holden, Bedford, and GMC Motor Vehicles.